This is Strategic Signals. I'm your host, and what we're witnessing right now isn't just another chapter in the Ukraine conflict. We're watching the real-time disintegration of a major power's strategic capacity, combined with a fundamental restructuring of how wars are fought and won in the 21st century. Let me start with the starkest reality on the ground today. Russia is experiencing what I can only describe as a strategic death spiral, a convergence of failures so profound that we've crossed from military setback into regime survival territory. And the mechanics of how this is happening tell us everything about what comes next, not just for Ukraine, but for the entire architecture of global security. The strategic calculus here is brutally simple, but the implications are enormous. Russia's liquid financial reserves have collapsed to just $55 billion. That's not a typo. We're talking about a 90% drawdown from pre-invasion levels. Now, for context, that's less than many mid-sized corporations maintain in working capital. For a country attempting to sustain a major military campaign while under comprehensive sanctions, this represents something close to financial exhaustion. But here's where it gets more interesting from an intelligence perspective. This isn't just about running out of money. Financial scarcity is creating a paralysis inside the Russian bureaucratic system that compounds every other failure. When officials know there's no margin for error, when expensive decisions that go wrong could end careers or worse, the entire decision-making apparatus freezes. Nobody wants to be the one who spent limited resources on an initiative that failed, so nothing decisive happens. The system becomes self-sabotaging precisely when it needs to be most adaptive. Now, layer on top of this financial constraint a more insidious problem. Russia's command structure has criminalized truth-telling. General Popov sits in prison right now for the crime of reporting artillery shortages to his superiors. Think about what that does to information flow in a military organization. When reporting bad news becomes grounds for imprisonment, commanders stop reporting bad news. Intelligence assessments become what leadership wants to hear rather than operational reality. This creates cascading blind spots that compound with each level of command. Building on that information breakdown, we're seeing battlefield manifestations that would have seemed unthinkable 3 years ago. Ukraine successfully struck the Votkins facility, 870 miles inside Russian territory. For those tracking strategic assets, Votkins is where Russia produces intercontinental ballistic missiles. This isn't hitting a forward supply depot. This is penetrating to the heart of strategic weapons production. The fact that Ukraine can reach targets at this depth with sufficient precision to conduct meaningful damage assessment represents a fundamental shift in the geometry of the conflict. And it's not just symbolic strikes. The systematic degradation of specialized Russian capabilities continues at an accelerating pace. The entire BMOT heavy assault fleet has been destroyed. Ukraine claims elimination of over 100 heavy flamethrower systems. These aren't mass-produced items that can be quickly replaced. These are specialized capabilities that defined certain aspects of Russian military doctrine. Each one eliminated represents a permanent reduction in tactical options. More importantly, the industrial base that produced these systems can't regenerate them at scale. Western sanctions have cut off access to critical manufacturing equipment that has no domestic Russian equivalent. This creates an irreversible trajectory. Even if the conflict ended tomorrow, Russia's military-industrial capacity has been set back by a decade or more. The equipment being destroyed today cannot be replaced in the timeframes that matter for strategic planning. Now, let's talk about what's happening on the Ukrainian side, because this is where the real defense revolution is occurring, and most Western analysts are completely missing it. Ukraine has scaled drone production from 3.5 million units to 7 million units annually. They've deployed over 20,000 autonomous combat robots. These aren't just impressive numbers. This represents a fundamental transformation in how military-industrial organization operates under existential pressure. The strategic shift operates on multiple levels simultaneously. Technologically, Ukraine has compressed defense research and development cycles that normally take decades down to months. How? Direct collaboration between soldiers in combat and manufacturers. A drone gets shot down, the weakness gets identified, the fix gets implemented, and improved versions deploy within weeks. Traditional defense contractors spend years in procurement review processes for modifications that Ukrainian workshops prototype over weekends. And here's the cost asymmetry that changes everything. Ukrainian autonomous systems cost between $5,000 and $50,000.
comparable Western systems cost millions. When you're fighting a war of attrition against a financially constrained adversary, being able to field 100 drones for the cost of one traditional weapon system creates sustainable advantages that compound over time. Post-conflict, Ukraine is positioning itself as what they're calling the arsenal of democracy. That terminology is deliberately chosen. It echoes World War II American industrial mobilization. But the parallel is deeper than rhetoric. Just as American manufacturing capacity established post-war military dominance, Ukraine's autonomous systems manufacturing base could establish it as a major defense technology exporter. Traditional defense contractors with vastly larger budgets haven't achieved the rapid iteration and cost efficiency that operational urgency has driven in Ukraine. Now, strategically, notice where Ukraine is directing its deepest strikes: Russian oil and gas infrastructure. This isn't random targeting. This is sophisticated economic warfare. Energy exports represent Moscow's primary war financing mechanism. By systematically degrading production and export capacity, Ukraine aims to collapse Russia's revenue base faster than its military capacity can regenerate. Every refinery struck, every pipeline damaged, directly reduces the financial runway available for continued operations. The second-order effects here extend far beyond this conflict. Ukraine has demonstrated that operational urgency drives innovation more effectively than peacetime procurement bureaucracies. This lesson is being absorbed by defense planners worldwide. We're likely to see accelerated global adoption of autonomous weapon systems and a fundamental rethinking of how smaller nations offset conventional military disadvantages. The entire calculus of defense spending is shifting beneath our feet. But let's zoom out to the great power competition level, because what's happening between Washington, Moscow, and Beijing matters more than any individual battlefield development. And right now, American policy unpredictability has evolved from frustrating to genuinely destabilizing for the entire international system. The fundamental inconsistency is this: Trump quietly extended Russian sanctions, contradicting his campaign rhetoric. Simultaneously, he's created what he calls a board of peace with authoritarian leaders, signaling potential realignment away from traditional democratic alliances. Ukraine receives mixed signals. Military aid continues, but long-term commitment remains uncertain. Trump claims to have ended 8 wars while taking an aggressive diplomatic posture toward Iran. The strategic implication is profound. Allies and adversaries cannot rely on consistent American positions. Long-term planning becomes impossible when you can't predict what commitments will hold across administrations or even within single presidencies. European defense planners assess a 3-year war duration in Ukraine, partly because they cannot count on sustained American support. Zelensky has stated willingness for real compromises while rejecting ultimatums. He notes that accepting current territorial control already represents major Ukrainian concession. This reveals how Ukraine's strategy must now account for potential American disengagement. That's a vulnerability Russia will attempt to exploit through protracted conflict and hybrid operations. Intelligence services have already disrupted multiple assassination networks targeting Ukrainian officials. The erosion of predictable American strategic behavior increases the likelihood of miscalculation by everyone. When adversaries can't reliably assess what actions will trigger American responses, the probability of inadvertent escalation rises. When allies can't count on commitments, alliance structures begin fracturing at precisely the moments they're most needed. And that brings us to the China variable, because Russia's post-invasion isolation has created a dangerous asymmetric dependency that fundamentally alters Eurasian power dynamics. With Western markets closed and liquid reserves depleted, Russia requires Chinese financial lifelines for regime survival. Sanctions have made Chinese components critical for weapons production. Access to advanced technology increasingly flows through Beijing. This isn't a partnership of equals. This is Russia occupying a subordinate position, similar to Cold War client states, except with reverse polarity. Where the Soviet Union once supported junior partners, Russia now depends on Chinese capital, trade relationships, and technological access. For China, this provides strategic depth against Western pressure, access to Russian resources at favorable terms, and a distracted West while Beijing consolidates regional position. The shifting geography of power here suggests this dependency may be permanent. Even if the conflict ends, Russia's military base has been degraded so severely, its reputation as a reliable partner so damaged, that reconstruction will require Chinese capital and technology. This creates a long-term structural shift with implications for Central Asia, Arctic development, and Europe's eastern frontier. Meanwhile, Putin's alliance network is fragmented. Orbán faces potential electoral defeat in Hungary. Cuba and Venezuela offer diminishing support. This further isolates Russia into Chinese orbit, reducing Moscow's diplomatic flexibility and independent agency.
Russia isn't just losing the Ukraine conflict. It's losing strategic autonomy as an independent power. Before we close, I want to briefly touch on something that seems disconnected but carries genuine strategic weight. Domestic governance failures in major Western economies directly affect national power projection in great power competition. California's systematic policy implementation failures, a $250 million homelessness program assisting 22 people instead of 50,000, less than 10% of Paradise rebuilt years after catastrophic wildfires, a bullet train project with 367% cost overruns and zero operational track, these aren't just local mismanagement stories. As America's largest state economy and potential presidential candidate Newsom's governance laboratory, these failures shape investor confidence and broader narratives about institutional effectiveness. When authoritarian competitors tout efficiency advantages, Western governance failures provide validation for their critiques, undermining democratic model credibility globally.